You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Michael Oliver. It's been a while since I've talked to Michael. I was away on vacation in Europe with my wife, and then John Rubino took the show that week, and then last week Michael was not able to be with us. So I'm really delighted that he's back today, albeit not in his normal, usual, comfortable setting. Michael, thanks for joining me in any event. Thanks for going the extra mile to make yourself available.
Good to be here.
Yeah, so I understand that you're we're talking to you from a Walmart or someplace like that?
No, a Costco.
A Costco, okay.
I found a quiet aisle, okay.
Yeah. As long as no shoplifters come along, I suppose we'll be okay.
Right.
So, all right, well, anyway, I'm really glad that you could be with us again. In a recent, I think it was June 27th, you wrote about gold. You provided some numbers to watch on the downside, and when I read this, I said, uh-oh, is Michael now starting to think in terms of going neutral? Might the bull market in gold be over? Should I start bailing out of all of my gold stocks now? You weren't quite saying that, but you were suggesting that, you know, keep your eye on the downside. But then right after that, you put out some information on numbers to watch on the upside. So I guess I need to ask you if you could just talk a little bit about what you were talking about then. Could you? What are some of the downside targets, and what are you more concerned about? What do you think is
I suspect strongly that the downside's about over. We might have even seen it the other day. But I had to be careful because, you know, I want to throw up the caution flag if I think it's going to have a little precipitous drop. So far, it's been an arm wrestling drop, and then it picked up a little speed over the last few weeks. But that is more of an exhaustion-type part of the decline, in my view. First off, the decline is 6 months old, counting from the January momentum highs on monthly momentum to the June lows. And even though July took out the June price low, momentum did not take out the June price low. So far we get 6 months of downside. And when you measure via monthly momentum using a 3 month average as your metric, and you get six bars in one direction, it's rare to ever find seven. And six is stretching it. So I think the cloth is not on the side of bears. I think they've got about all they're going to get. And it doesn't take much of a twitch on the upside to begin to turn this thing around. And I put out a report yesterday, specified some numbers that frankly aren't but a 0.5% above today's high. That if we can see them in the next few days, it says, okay, we're going the other way. This is not a one-way street anymore. And it probably blows in place. So also a lot of markets are generating, I think, confusion right now and noise. Dollar 7 counter trend rally, which I think is old and withered as well. And it doesn't even show up on long-term charts, frankly. It only shows up when you look at micro stuff like dailies and weeklies. T-bonds have a counter trend rally, which we expected. And I think there's more to it. Not a lot more, but, you know, more time wasted on the upside. Stock market's trying to confuse people, especially the U.S. market, with action that is both up and down. And almost sideways for the last couple months if you just look at a bar chart. So it's very confusing. It's all well below the high, with the rare exception being the FANG stocks and the NASDAQ 100, which, of course, fully represents them. But what's going on in Europe is interesting. It's a little clearer in Japan as well and China, getting clear breakage. We call the downturn in the Shanghai Composite Index at the close of February. Price is about, I think, 3,300. It's since collapsed down into the 2,700s, and that's a huge percent drop. And you can ignore it if you want, but it's the second biggest economy in the world. And the other day, the Nikkei broke its quarterly momentum for the first time in 2 years. So it's joined the club. South Korea has broken down by our metrics. And even Singapore. The tail end of last quarter just took a nosedive and did structural damage to long-term momentum. Now, that's going on. Then I've got the Euro stocks 50 and the DAX. They broke quarterly momentum back in February. They're now challenging annual structures. So we're getting a lot of weakness in major developed market indices, and Shanghai being sort of in between there. And the U.S. is trying to ignore it, and I don't think that's going to persist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're really watching for now with the next breakage points on the S&P and the NASDAQ.
Yeah, well, if I look at your what you put in your weekend missive, Michael, concerning the S&P, on your momentum chart, clearly shows a breakdown from the peak back in 2018, right? Early in the year.
Yes.
I mean, I don't see that you can read it any other way in terms of momentum. In terms of the price as well. I mean, it looks like it's broken down, right? And
I quite agree. And
getting back to gold again, if you were to look at the price chart, the momentum breakdown is quite clear. I think if you look at the momentum charts that you have, that it hasn't broken down on the gold market,
right?
Even though the price would suggest maybe it has, but so that's what you're saying is that
since we got bullish on gold at 1140 back in February 2016. There have been some big sell-offs of gold. And it keeps coming back up to the 1350 zone, and then gets sold off again. The last time it went to 1350 was January, March, and it nested there so quietly you hear a pin drop. Mm-hmm. Highly unusual. But quite often, quiet markets, if they're at a point, this is a price chart level now that's important, because anybody can now see this 1340-50 level as a big line in the sand, that if you can get through it, the price guys are going to get excited. Well, this time they got up there and got quiet. And sometimes when you have a quiet action trying to get through a resistance or a support level, in this case overhead resistance, it doesn't work. And what you need to do is have a tantrum. Increase the volatility of that given market so that when it goes for the structure the next time, it's got some oomph to it. Gold didn't have any oomph up there. It was so dormant. Our volatility readings on gold were just, pancaked.
Yeah,
and now that you've picked up some volatility readings, if you turn, you might turn with volatility, not with a quietness. So it might be to the advantage of the bulls that we pulled back that last time from that very clear trend line on the price charts. It goes across the highs going back to 2013. It's almost flat. And if you can ever clear that, and our number is 1340 actually on a monthly close, as far as we're concerned, the price chart then sort of joins in with what momentum already said 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So, Michael, I'm looking at the chart today, and I think at least in the cash market, we were at 1257, 1256, something like that. You're saying a 0.5% above that, and we could be off to some much higher numbers, I guess.
Now, I've got some numbers in the low 1260s. Close the week there, it should be over, period.
1260.
Low 1260s. Now, next week, that number's going to drop. And it's going to drop probably well into the 1250s if you can close next week out above that level. Then to me it says, okay, circle it, you've seen your sell-off, we're now in the process is the other way. Question is, what kind of speed, if we inherited some volatility, we can now use on the upside.
All right, Michael, with just a couple of minutes left here yet, I'm looking at, you mentioned the dollar. I think it's, what about silver? I mean, this is just really seems
silver,
to be a basket
silver,
case.
Silver is so dormant for a year and a half or more in a box about $1.50 wide. And it's probed near the bottom end of it. It actually hasn't taken out the bottom end of the box. If you go back several, 6 or 9 months or so, it was a low lower than we've seen in this break. So it's been really, it looks like the GDX, very dormant, very sideways, almost abnormal looking. But silver looks to me like if you turn up in gold and silver turns, silver's going to outpace gold. And my first number on silver right now is a monthly close for this month at 1648 or higher, which is like about the middle of the last month's range, not quite even that high. So if you go back up about in the middle of the June range, close out the month of July, as far as I'm concerned, it's over, it's going to launch. And there's a couple other trigger numbers above that as well that should give it even more oomph on the upside. But I think it'll outpace gold at that point in time.
All right. Now, it seems one other market, it seems you're trading a bit cool on in the commodity sector. That's my perception. Correct me if it's different. Oil and copper. While on the other hand, you're as bullish as can be yet on the grains, and I guess neutral. Yeah. What's that? Yeah.
So we've had mud on my face there. Soybean action in particular has been very weak because of the tariff stuff that's solely on soybeans. The Chinese saying, "Well, we'll buy your soybeans," which is an impossibility because later in the season they're going to have to because they'll run out of Brazilian. But the other grains, when you look at them as a package, your group, everything from corn, wheat, oats, rough rice, and put them all in a basket and take a look at them on price charts and annual momentum, you get a totally different picture than you do when you look at soybeans. So I regard soybeans as a deceptive, errant market in that ultimately these others are gelled and ready to go up. And particularly wheat's quite still above our breakout levels. Corn's pulled back slightly below our breakout levels, but acting well. Oats look great. Rice looks great. So all these growing food commodities, which have been laying on their back for 3 years, I think they're a bargain. I think they're a place to be for the next several years. And, for people who are looking for something that hasn't been up for 10 years straight in a row, and supported by central banks, the grains haven't. And they've gone to theoretical zero. They've proven it for 3 years. We're just not going any lower. Therefore, that's the place to be. And I think there's enough signal of upside intent out there that it's the place to be now. And I would divest myself of copper and oil. We've suggested our copper back a week or two ago, and it's since dropped 20 cents. And oil, I'm suspicious of a very sharp correction.
All right. Well, those are some key commodities, but we like it because you call them as you see them, very not impassioned, but basically, your objective view of the markets, which is always so important. It's so easy to become emotional in various markets. If you turn on the TV now and watch CNBC or Fox or any of the business channels, they'll tell you that hey, that the market's down now. It's a good time to buy the dips. But those people are not paying much attention to your structural charts. I would say your structural momentum charts, and they might do well to do that. I would suggest. All I can say is that you've been just spot on. I mean, I think though. Tell me if I'm wrong about this. I think you're a bit surprised that the equity markets have held up as well as they have, though. No.
Well, sort of. We defined it. I think about 6 months ago, we had a debate with ourselves and put out a report that said, "Don't expect this to be 87 or 29. Uh-huh. It's going to be an arduous." Just the term we use, arduous top, and so far it's definitely been arduous. Though it has done some objective breakage to the major trends, there's still more to come. It's not one big number you hit that should go from green light to red light. When you analyze a market, there's always different layers of breakage that increase the gravitas of the move. And I think that we're getting there, and I think we will get there this quarter, but particularly because I'm seeing the evidence in the other major markets that I listed early on that have now broken through major stuff. And we can try to ignore it if we want, but good luck.
So we're still looking at a bull market in commodities in general. Do you think there's a time yet in this longer-term perspective for bulls for commodities that some of those weaker commodities could have another run yet? Oil and copper, for example?
Yeah, I think those two that we mentioned, copper and oil, have had huge moves over the last 2.5 years. Huge percent moves. Better than the S&P. Far better. Bigger. But it's been almost uninterrupted. And when I look at some long-term charts, yes, they're positive because they're in uptrends, but they're extended. And even the momentum readings are too extended. And therefore, I'm highly suspicious. And sure enough, since we put out that report, copper has taken a real dive. And
yes.
That's probably correlated to China. And I think oil's probably going to have a very sharp break sometime in the next 3 to 6 months. which will correct it within the context of its long-term trend. But in the meantime, the commodities that didn't go up, some soft commodities, primarily food commodities, I think will take the ball and run with it. And that's the place to be. By the dogs of last year, you know, like some Dow players are, you know.
Yeah, the dogs of the commodities, so the dogs of the Dow.
Those are the ones to buy.
But then, Michael, with respect to the precious metals, the monetary metals, if you will, gold and silver, I guess they are really more reflective of the outcome of the currency, and you're still very bearish on the dollar, I believe, right?
Absolutely. I don't trust the dollar rally. The dollar rally is it's impressive when you look at near-term, but when you stand back and look at very long-term charts, it's long-term momentum charts, it's a joke. It barely even shows up on the long-term annual momentum charts. And so I think it is a bear market rally. I think it'll fail, and you'll get out deep into the 80s before it's the dollar index, that is. Right now, it's about 94.
All right, Michael, we'll have to leave it go at that. We're out of time. I want to thank you again for being with us, folks. It's OliverMSA.com, OliverMSA.com. Go there, subscribe to Michael's letter. Boy, if you're a serious investor, it's invaluable. I couldn't do without it. Thank you so much for being with us, Michael. And
thank you, Jay.
We'll look to have you on again next week if possible. All right, folks, all right, take care. Well, we're going to go to break now. Don't go away, though, because Richard Mayberry is going to be with me to discuss some very important and interesting issues that are taking place in today's world with regard to the American empire, the dollar, and other very important issues. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Rick Mayberry.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Noble Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Karratha region of Western Australia, where they are currently drilling and trenching their Perdies Reward Project. In addition, Novo has partnered with Sumitomo Mining Corporation to advance its Beaton's Creek Gold Project toward production. With over $70 million in cash and strong shareholder support from the likes of Kirkland Lake Gold, Novo is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.